Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
Mr. Garrett is here. He is on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Major, got a couple topics for you, and then we'll away from politics, and we'll jump into it on another busy week. I was just talking about how last weekend and then last night I saw two friends. One I've known for 40 years. One I've known for 30 years. One I haven't had a chance to see in 15 years, and we just had a great time. My other friend I saw briefly about 6-7 years ago, but long time since. They used to be huge parts of my life, and I've just reminded the greatness of those friendships, and it was a good reminder for me to grab the phone, go through the phone, whatever way I can connect with people who used to be essential fabrics of my life. How are you connecting with people once they're out of your life to reach out to them again?
That's a really good question. And I should have a better answer than I do. So I have one dear friend who's been best man for me twice. That's what happens when you're married twice. And we've known each other since we were in second grade. Well, obviously, we grew up together in San Diego. He's since moved out of California, first to Colorado, then to Missouri. He may end up in Florida. But we've kept in touch our entire lives. We text and email, celebrate each other's birthdays. I think I've used this phrase before on your show. He's my body bag friend.
Yes, you have.
And I think you know what I mean by that.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I think you know what I mean. I think the audience knows what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
And I think everyone should have one of those. You don't have six body bag friends. You have one. And for those who don't understand what I mean is, what I mean by that is you call that person up and you say, I need something. Like, I need you to help me move a body bag. And they're like, sure, where do I go? And there's no questions asked, and they will do anything for you at any moment, at any hour. And like I said, you can't have six of those. At most in your life, you'll have one. I've had one, the same one, all my life. But I've lost touch with a lot of people that were integral to my life in my 20s and 30s. Completely lost touch with them. I have some college friends that I've kept in touch with, but there have been people who were really a big part of my lives that I've just drifted away from and not corresponded with, not reattached myself to for a very, very long time. So I don't have a really good answer for you on that.
Get on it. Change.
That's a good idea.
I was reminded. My high school friends and my college friends, I hardly ever talk to them. Now, I'm not too far from where you're eventually going to live. I'm in Palm Springs, and I'm staying.
Right. You're just up the road.
Yeah. I'm staying at the place with my closest friend. My closest friend, he and his wife, they, the last 3 years, have rented a place out here in Palm Springs just to get out of Minnesota. And he's been my closest male friend since 1985. You know, so I stay close to him. But not many others. So it's a good reminder.
Yep.
Here's another one for you. So Breakfast Club, in theory, started when, Dave? Is it 1984, this date? Is that what you shared with me, the movie Breakfast Club?
Yes. According to the movie, the day of detention was Saturday, March 24th, 1984.
Ah, wow.
Does Major Garrett, at some point in his academic life, have a detention story for us where you took the wrong path and you faced the wrath of punishment?
No detention stories, no summer school stories, no flunk out stories. However, a small digression since we've invoked the name of that movie, an absolutely great, great movie. I think it's John Hughes' best movie. By far. Not by far. What's better?
Ferris Bueller is noticeably
better. I know. No, Ferris Bueller is more fun, unquestionably, and it's a better ride. It's a better ride, no question about it. But for the profoundness of the story and for the movement that the characters make and for the way he shot the final scene, when John Hughes shot the final scene, he sat down on the carpet with the actors to make them feel all as if they were a part of the same situation. I just think it's an enormously emotionally powerful movie. I agree. It's more fun. You give me a choice, like 5 times out of 10, I'll take Ferris because it's just a better ride. But I think Breakfast Club is an outstanding, outstanding movie and a much more difficult movie to carry off than Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
True. I agree.
However,
it is a reminder.
Just real quick.
It's a reminder of all of the amazing movies that John Hughes was a part of. And the Ronnie was on there for about 10, 12 years. Yep. Scintillating.
Remarkable. So I was the editor of the front page of my high school newspaper, and we wrote a story under my byline that was highly critical of one of the senior assistant vice principals of the school.
Ooh,
I was called in.
I like that.
I was called in the day or two after that story was published because, of course, it was on the front page because I was the front page editor and I wrote it by the other assistant vice principal. I wasn't called in by the principal, but the assistant vice principal. And I was told, and this is a direct quote, one I've never forgotten, that I would never have a career in journalism and I ought to think about a life as a construction worker.
Oh, man. Do you just occasionally send this person, you know, when you win an award or you're hosting the evening news and just say, hey, how are you doing? How's life for you? Hold on. I'd love to talk, but I have to go back and host Face the Nation or win another award for my podcast. You know, how's life out there in San Diego with the retirement community where you're at? I mean, that's what I think you should do.
I've let bygones be bygones. It didn't impact me very much then, and it's been something I've thought about and chuckled over the years because I really thought she was giving me this amazing dressing down, and I would be so humiliated and so shocked by this declaration. And I just thought to myself, you don't have any idea what you're talking about, do you?
I had not quite the same story, but when I finished college, had a few different interviews, and I won't say where, but it was a smaller town station in the upper Midwest, and the person listened to some of my work and basically said, nope, this is not what you should do. I just want to let you know. And then a couple years later, they were an affiliate for the Timberwolves broadcast, and I'm broadcasting the games. And guess who was at the meeting to tell me he was always a big fan of mine? And I just kind of went, really?
Yes.
Always a big fan.
Really?
And I just kind of paused. Yes. I thought, should I go? You're like,
wow.
No, I didn't. I'm like, fan. Dave, good to see you. Good to see you.
Isn't that
but
special?
I chuckled.
Isn't that special?
So yes,
people,
I chuckled. And
remember, your experience, my experience, but there's a much bigger marquee experience. I was recently listening to a Turner Classic Movies podcast on Lucille Ball. She was rejected from acting school not once but twice. And the first time she was rejected, the acting school in New York City said, you will never be an actress. You have no talent at all. Lucille Ball, ladies and gentlemen, the greatest comedian, female comic actress in the history of our country. And a great dramatic actress as well.
Yes, underrated. And a pretty good movie about her life a couple of years ago with Nicole Kidman playing her. Okay, let's get to a couple matters here. Mm-hmm. Put in perspective what is going on with our country, Iran, in Syria, the back and forth recently, and the fact that I saw it briefly yesterday, Major, and I didn't have a chance to write down the general's name. But the general who said these attempts to challenge America, to challenge them militarily from Iran, happens at a rate that I never could have guessed. And just kind of break this down, how the Biden administration decided the appropriate response.
So the circumstances, as I understand them, and the Pentagon still releasing details about this. There's a place in northeastern Syria near Turkey where we have a small base of operations to assist the movement of refugees, not only from the Syrian civil war, but from the earthquake in both countries. And Iranian drones attacked that particular location. The Pentagon just in the last couple of hours disclosed or confirmed that the air defense system that it had there wasn't up and fully operational, which is one of the reasons the drone got through. There's not really clarity yet from the Pentagon or anyone about why that system wasn't operational when it should have been, but it wasn't. And an American contractor, a civilian contractor, was killed. And there has been harassment of U.S. personnel, special operators, and others in northern Syria from Iran for quite some time. And because this is a low-level military engagement, meaning it's not off the books, it's not covert, but we don't talk about it a lot, and its missions are largely out of the headlines, this Iranian harassment doesn't get a lot of attention. And I don't think the Biden administration has wanted to bring a lot of attention to it because it doesn't want to have a military direct conversation confrontation with Iran. But there was a response, a U.S. missile strike back. And that's where the story sits presently. But the confirmation of this episode also led to the confirmation that this happens more frequently than most Americans might assume.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Let's get to the 45th president of the United States. Mm-hmm. We know he made this probably money-raising proclamation last week that he was going to be indicted on Tuesday, continues to offer up bizarre vitriol on True Social. But let's get to the January 6th matter, because today his a ruling came out that Mark Meadows and others who have said, we'd love to testify. We'd really love the opportunity to testify, but we can't because of executive privilege. And a judge today said, that does not apply. And also, and I believe this is the same judge who has compelled his attorney in the classified documents matter because of a preponderance of evidence of criminality and saying attorney-client privilege does not exist, Evan Cochran, and you are required to testify. To me, Major, those are more significant than hush money to someone he had an affair with.
Correct, or didn't have an affair with, depending on whom you believe. Quite clearly, you have identified the most important story of the week, but you'd never know it, Chad, from watching cable news or anywhere else.
Right.
Because the 45th president, the former president, can generate and can misdirect because of his stature as a former president and because of the venom in his social media posts that can't be ignored, he generates a tremendous amount of news. But I would say in a legal context, Manhattan DA's investigation is a sideshow compared to Jack Smith, the special counsel. Two things. You can't have executive privilege over a crime. How do we know this? Because that's the ruling in the Nixon case. There is no executive privilege if you are participating in or discussing something that might, in fact, be a crime. Point one. Point two, you cannot tell your attorney a lie and have your attorney tell the court a lie in documents filed on your behalf and get away with it. Those two things cannot happen. So we've always known that if the court determined that the events around January 6th were potentially criminal and finding out the truth about that underlying potential criminality was so important that executive privilege would never apply. It's taken a long time to get there. Accountability under the rule of law often takes a long time, but that's what we're getting to. On the classified documents thing, it's now very clear. And on part of the court, established court record, and the Trump attorneys are not appealing this to the Supreme Court. They're essentially taking the ruling from the three-judge panel in the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals, the D.C. Circuit, that Evan Corcoran misled the court. That's the most generous interpretation, although another word for that would be lied, to the court about what happened with the classified documents. Why did he lie? Because that's what he was told to by the former president. Why did the former president lie about that? That we don't know. But that attorney-client privilege, which is usually ironclad, has now been removed because you cannot lie to the court and retain attorney-client privilege. Those developments this week are far and away more important and pose much greater legal jeopardy to the former president than whatever may or may not happen in Manhattan.
Great insight as always, sir. Have a fabulous weekend. We'll talk next week.
Excellent. Thanks, man.
He's the best. Major Garrett, also the best, my friends, with K&S Heating and Air Conditioning. They also want to thank you again for the enormous outpouring of interest and people buying a Lennox furnace for under $3,000 during their amazing winter sale. CCO radio audience came through huge. Now, that's done, but to suggest the great deals are done with K&S, no, no, no. That is not going on. When you look at K&S discounts, okay, with their fabulous, still high-efficiency furnaces, and by the way, air conditioners, because eventually summer is going to happen, and then you combine your local utility provider rebates, oh, you'll be very pleased with the price. This is what you need to do. You need to track them down. I'll tell you how in a second. Have them out for a no-obligation, 100% free estimate. And then once you get a product, have them out in the spring and fall for your tune-up, and it's only $189. That's what I do. Call them, 952-697-4328, or call ksheating.com.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.